so I want to talk about that, because this thing about keeping our minds set on things above is where I want to go. But first, let's also read Exodus 19:6. This is only two verses, so this would be a good one. But no, I didn't read 10 verses. So Exodus 19:6 and 7. No, Exodus 5 and 6, I guess. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Anybody have that?
Mm-hmm. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth. For all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is a message you must give to the people of Israel.
Great. Yeah, exactly right. So what we read in Colossians is a guy named Paul writing to the people who live in a town called Colossae, and that's in the New Testament after Jesus came, after he was murdered for our sins, after he rose from the dead, and after he went to be with the right hand of the Father. Paul is giving instructions in light of Jesus' coming. Here's how you should live. What Karen just read was way before Jesus, when a guy named Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. They're exiting. That's why it's called the Exodus. And so they're exiting Egypt, right? And he says, if you will obey my, God says to Moses, tell the children of Israel, if they will obey my voice, if they will keep my covenant, then they will be my own possession among all the peoples, because all the earth is mine. And they will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Tell them this, Moses. Go tell them that they're going to be a kingdom of priests, and they're going to be a holy, holy nation. And this is the word you speak to them. And then we later find out how that encounters. So does anybody remember what we talked about last week? When we talked about, I talked a lot about David and Ahithophel and Absalom and a bunch of names. What was it? Ishbosheth. I love Ishbosheth. Anybody remember what else we talked about? I'll remind myself. We talked about Joshua and David and Abraham being people who loved to go into the presence of the Lord. In fact, we talked about Joshua being so interested in being in the presence of the Lord that he wouldn't leave the tent. They would establish a tent of meeting where they would meet with the Lord, and Moses and Joshua would go into it. The Lord would descend in a pillar of smoke during the day, a pillar of fire at night, and he would meet with Moses. And Joshua was so enthralled that then Moses would meet with the Lord. He would be totally awestruck. He would get a download of instruction. He'd go out and minister to the millions of people that he is having to minister to, 600,000 men and just as many women and then just as many children. And so he's going out and ministering to them from that place of encounter with the Lord. And Joshua would stay in the tent of meeting, wouldn't leave. He would just stay there encountering. And who becomes the great general? It's Joshua who is the great general after encountering the Lord in the tent of meeting. And I bring all that up in the light of this place. This is a prayer room. This is a place where we come to encounter the Lord. And this is a place where we are intentionally asking the Lord, who is in complete control, that we want to go vertical, God. We want to lift our eyes to you. That's what Colossians does, right? Fixing your eyes on Jesus. This is a place to go vertical. The tent of meeting was a place to meet with God. Vertical. When we encounter one another, we're going horizontal, right? We're doing second commandment. Jesus said there's two great commandments. First commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The second commandment is just like it, but it's the second commandment. It comes after the first commandment. The first commandment is vertical, and this is a place that's dedicated to the vertical, to the vertical engagement. So it's not just about coming, you know, when you say that you're a house of prayer or you're a prayer room, it's like, okay, I'm going to go there and I'm going to pray for Aunt Sally and Uncle Joe, and I'm going to pray for financial increase and that our government would be turned around, etc. It's a place to do that, but it's not just simply a place for requests. It's supposed to be, and what we desire it to be, and the reason Amy's so rabid about having this place be consecrated is it's to be a place of vertical encounter, mm-hmm. presence, you know, a sense of connect with the living God, who we can't see, right? It's a sense of that. And why? Well, it's kind of indicated in that verse we read in Exodus, where God said to the children of Israel way back long ago, if you'll follow me, you will be a kingdom of priests. You're going to be a holy nation. And we are grafted in into that as a holy nation. Moses, that guy who was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, well, first of all, let me ask this. Tell me, think about a time when you knew that God was near. Think about a time when you think to yourself, oh yeah, I was doing this and I remember, I know God is in this place. That's what Jacob said, by the way, when he had that encounter, when he saw the angels ascending and descending the ladder, he goes, God is in this place. And so tell me, does anybody want to share a time when they knew that you knew for sure that God was near? Anything that immediately comes to mind?
I remember having a time, and I've been many times, but it's a time that I used to just spend hours by myself. There wasn't a prayer room. I'd spend hours just worshiping the Lord and set my guitar out and just spend so much time before Him. And at this one point, it was so evident to me that He was in the room that I was afraid to look. I was afraid to look up. I knew I would be undone. I couldn't look up. Like I was bowed down on the floor, and I thought, oh my gosh, like He is like right here. And I did get a look, but I just saw His feet, and I was like, ah, done.
Wow. So just a sense of His presence in the room.
Oh yeah, crazy.
I love that. Yeah. Anybody else? Sure.
I just had it a couple days ago. I share a house, and I came home. I took a nap. I hardly ever take naps, and I was in this dead sleep. And before I went to sleep, though, I saw two like translucent color circles on like one side of my wall, and then on the other side of my room. Both on one was on one wall, and then another was on another wall.
Wow.
And I noticed that before I went to sleep, and I was out. And I think I was out for maybe about 30 minutes, and all of a sudden I woke up. I still saw the circles, but I heard this voice, go move your car. Because Jason, my housemate, came home. And he came home like 5 minutes after I moved my car. And I think that was just out.
The voice said, go move your car?
It was weird, yeah. It was just like this sense I got to do that.
I love that.
That was happening. He came in right after I moved the car.
Totally practical.
It was interesting. But I noticed these translucent circles on the walls, though. So
yeah.
I'm thinking they're angels of sort, or, you know, is the Lord being in the room with me?
That's I love that. I can think of like a bunch of examples where the Lord practically worked with me on that, like on things like that.
Just a message.
Anybody else got one that too? Sure. No. This is a place where we want to encounter the Lord. That's what we're all about. So I want to read this chapter from Exodus. I'll read it. It's in Exodus 33, and the Lord said, the Lord's talking to Moses, and he's saying, look, Moses, I want you to leave Egypt. It's time for you to take all the Israelites out of Egypt. That's no small deal. That's 1 million people he's walking out of the land of Egypt across a river into a new land that they have not seen before. And so this is Exodus 33. And the Lord says to Moses, depart from here. Go up, you and your people, whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. He said, this is an awesome land I'm sending you to. And I will. And then God says, for I will not go up in your midst, because you are an obstinate people, and I might destroy you on the way. This is after they've rebelled against the Lord enough to where the Lord says, I can't go with you. I'll destroy you. Verse 4 of 33. When the people heard this sad word, they went into mourning, and none of them put on their ornaments. And the Lord said to Moses, say to the sons of Israel, you are an obstinate people. Should I go up in your midst for one moment, I would destroy you. Therefore, put off your ornaments from you, that I may know what I shall do with you. So the sons of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. They did not wear ornaments from that point on. Moses, here's verse 7, chapter 33. Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside of camp, a good distance from camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about that when Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise, and they would stand, each at the entrance of their own tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. And the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. And then here's the verse about Joshua, verse 11. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Mm-hmm. Verse 12, Moses says to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. And moreover, you said, I've known you by name, and you're telling me that I found favor in your sight. This is Moses like getting real with God. By the way, the Lord is not offended by us getting real with him. It's like, God, you said this, I'm not seeing it, I'm getting frustrated, I'm getting tired, it's hard for me to go. You know, what I don't think he likes is when we complain about the Lord to one another, but I don't think he minds this kind of straight talk at all. In fact, I think the Lord says, keep coming. You said, I've known you by name, and you have found favor in my sight. That's what you told me. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, so that I may know you and I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said, here is the verse. Here's the verse I want to get to. And Moses says to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how can then it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all other people on the earth? Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, I will do this thing that you've asked. And in verse 17, Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us from here. Do not go. If you're calling us out to this new challenge and your presence doesn't go with us, I am not interested. That presence was everything to Moses. It was everything to the children of Israel. It's everything to what we're trying to do here. It was the thing that the whole nation of Israel mourned about when the ark got stolen, when they lost a battle and the ark of the presence of God was taken by the Philistines. The whole nation goes into abject mourning because the presence of God represented by that ark is no longer in Israel. And they're like, oh my gosh. We have nothing. We are nobody without the presence of the Lord. And frankly, you are nobody without the presence of the Lord. I am nobody. We are worse than commoners in the world because we do not have the presence of the Lord. But with the presence of the Lord, we have everything. With the presence of the Lord, this people of Israel knew that they had everything when they had the presence. And that's why when we come into the prayer room, we're immediately looking for an encounter. Which may or may not come. Sometimes the Lord draws us in faith where he says, you know, I want you to come and I love the act of your coming because that's doing something in you that I'm very, very interested in. But that's what we're going after. And we're more aligned, aligned, I think, in the prayer room than we realize. We talk about our prayers being the smoke of incense, filling the bowls, the heavenly bowls. These bowls are talked about in Revelation, where the prayers of the saints are being poured out. And those prayers, especially prayers that are not yet answered, they gain interest. You know what interest is, right? That's where you put money in the bank, and the bank pays you for the privilege of storing your money and investing your money, and you get a return. Well, our prayers are going up, and those unanswered prayers, they gain interest. And so they're filling those bowls, gaining interest the whole time until the time that those bowls get poured out. They call that the incense of our prayers. We talk about love songs to Jesus. We do daily communion in this prayer room at 9 o'clock, where we have this bread and the wine. The bread representing the body of Christ. The wine is actually grape juice. Is representing the blood of Christ. Daily we recognize the body and the blood of Christ. And somehow we have tumbled into doing that, this daily act of communion, the daily act of worship, the daily act of prayers going on night and day. Ideally we'll go night and day. Somehow we've stumbled into, I think, what God wants all along. Because when we read in Exodus, we read about how he describes the tabernacle. And so turn to Exodus 25. He's talking about how the temple, first of all, starting with the tabernacle and eventually becoming the temple that he is going to build. Exodus is in the Old Testament. And again, it's a time of kind of establishing the practices of the nation of Israel. And if you turn to verse 33, 23, they're talking about this thing called the table of showbread. And so real quick, as they're traversing across the wilderness, they've established a tent of meeting, a tabernacle. And God gives very specific instructions of what he wants in that tabernacle. It's going to have an outer court. It's going to have an inner court with a holy place. It's going to have a place inside of that called the Holy of Holies. And in that holy place, just outside of the Holy of Holies, there's going to be a lampstand, and there's going to be the Ark of the Covenant, which is the chamber that held the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, a jar of manna, and it's built in a very specific way. By the way, Raiders of the Lost Ark is coming to the Vine. We have to go see it. Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, so it's it's an adventure movie from the 90s that was really good. Such a rich report. Anyway, the holy place had the Ark of the Covenant, the lampstand, and the table of showbread. Mm. We're in verse 23 of chapter 25, and we're going to read what the table of showbread was about. You shall make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long and 1 cubit wide and 1.5 cubits high. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a gold border around it, and make for it a rim a handbreadth around it, and you shall make a gold border for a rim. You shall put 4 gold rings on it, and put the rings on the 4 corners, which are on its 4 feet. And the rings will be close to the rim as holders for the poles to carry the table. So they're describing how the table is going to look, and also describing how you're going to carry the table when you're on the move, because you guys are going to be on the move a lot. Mm-hmm. And you're going to make these poles out of acacia wood, and you're going to overlay them with gold, so that with them the table may be carried. And you're going to make its dishes and its pans and its jars and its bowls with which to pour drink offerings, and you shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the bread at the table of the presence before me at all times. Tell me what is on the table of showbread? Bread?
Gold.
Yeah, bread on a gold plate, right?
The bread of the presence.
Let me direct you to another passage of scripture, because I'm not finding what I was looking for. So I'm sorry. Check Leviticus 24 out. So go to Leviticus 24. And that's in verse 5. And I'll read that and I'll ask my question again. You shall take fine flour and you shall build 12, you shall take fine flour and you shall bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake. You shall set them in 2 rows, 6 to a row, on a pure gold table before the Lord. That's a table of showbread. You shall put pure incense on each row that it may be a memorial portion for the bread, even an offering by fire to the Lord. And every Sabbath day you shall set it in order before the Lord continually as an everlasting covenant. So, now, what's on the showbread, or table of showbread? Bread. What else?
6 loaves.
It seems like they have 12 loaves.
12 loaves of bread.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Interesting, right? 12 loaves of bread. What else?
Frankincense.
Hmm?
Frankincense.
One for each of the...
Frankincense.
Tribes. Yeah. Frankincense.
That's what she said.
Frankincense.
Frankincense is
oil. I didn't take it that way. You made it that way. I was talking about what she said.
Frankincense is right. Frankincense with them, with and so what is frankincense?
Is it oil? Oil and gladness?
Yeah, I think he described it. He says,
that's what I think of it as. It doesn't say what it is.
It's a type of incense. And so they would have a plate with the incense that would burn. That way, mm-hmm. And then you'd have to be really a good reader to catch the other thing. But there's also container of wine. Mm-hmm. Do you see that in Exodus 33, Exodus 25? That's for the drink offering. Verse 29, and it's bowls for which to pour your drink offering. You should make them of pure gold. Mm-hmm. So it's a little subtle, but right outside of the tent of the Holy of Holies, there's a table with bread, with a flagon of wine, a container of wine, and with a plate of incense. Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting that here now 3,000 years later, we, along with many other places across the globe, are practicing by celebrating the bread of the presence of the Lord, the wine of his blood, and giving prayers of incense continually. Mm-hmm. Because where is the tabernacle these days? Mm-hmm. It's right here. It's right inside of you, right? And so you bring the tabernacle with you and you celebrate these things with you. You've got, in other words, the bread of the presence right there. That's why we pray. When we pray, we were talking about the other day, but when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Used to be, and I still do this, I mean, I still think about when I pray, you know, give us this day our daily bread, I think about, you know, groceries. Lord, give us a day our meals, right? Give us a day our food. Mm-hmm. And bread is representative of food. And I've heard teaching from people that I agree with that talks about how that's an opportunity, by the way, to bless the production of all that food, to bless the people who are producing the food, who bring it to the stores, who prepare it, who, you know, that the whole system, the whole massive system of bringing food to the table, which is good. It's good to do. But why bread? I mean, if it were really about the production of food, why not say, give us today our daily meal? It's because the bread of the presence, it's the bread of the presence that we're interested in. And it relates to that table of showbread. It's like, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily you. is an excellent way I recommend to pray. Give us today our daily sense of encounter with you, living God. And forgive us our trespasses, etc. We're, I think, more aligned than we think sometimes in terms of where we're at here. So here's the deal. we read in the very beginning that God gave the children of Israel this opportunity to be a kingdom of priests, right? Hey, you get to be a kingdom of priests before me. And the people were a little nervous about that because they knew that that meant talking to the really scary force that is surrounding that mountain or the huge cloud with lightnings and thunderings. And we're not sure we want to do that. No, 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 they said. You, Moses, you go talk for us. And we'll do what you say. Fast forward, Jesus comes. Jesus provides an access for us. We have access to the Holy of Holies. And one of his disciples, a guy named Peter, comes and says, comes and encounters the Lord. And Peter writes a letter to the church at that time, well after the Lord has been risen. So turn to Peter, to 1 Peter 2:9. And somebody read that out to me real loud. What is it? 1 Peter 2:9? Yeah, go ahead, DK.
I don't have it.
I got it. Let's see. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
So, who's the chosen race? Who's the royal priesthood?
We are.
Right? God gives this opportunity to Moses, fast forward through all of this by some miracle, little old me, poor decrepit me, gets to be a holy priest, a royal priesthood. And so we're all in training to be a priest, to be representing the people to God and God to the people. That's why when we come in here and we get vertical, we ask the Lord, give me your perspective so I can see the world from your perspective. I want you. I want to see you. And we go out and minister with that in mind. We don't get involved in the world's stuff from the world's perspective. We get vertical, and then we go out and we minister from a vertical perspective. That's why Jesus said when he was talking to the disciples after they were so shocked that he was talking to a woman at the well in Samaria, they're like, you guys, you keep saying, hey, aren't there 4 months? And then we'll do the harvest. 4 months from now, there's going to be a harvest. Pretty soon, there's going to be a harvest. Jesus says, I'm telling you, look up. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And it's that. This is a Bill Johnson thought that I'm stealing, but it's a look up and see him. Now look at the fields and see the fields from God's perspective. I'm telling you, they're ready right now. So that's what we're trying to do here. So what I want to do is just sing around that, especially for Colossians 3, to encourage us to, when we come into the prayer room, we're getting in position. We're kind of getting the line. We're sort of adopting a body posture of looking up, of encountering the Lord, of expecting the Lord to come, exactly like what Karen did today. A really great worship tonight that just basically preached to us for a half an hour. To look at the Lord, sense his presence, and then go out and minister. And when we get distracted, when we get frustrated, when things are not going exactly our way, we look up. That's what we do, okay? So we're going to pray, and then let's have the team join up. What did we decide, that you're playing keyboard or not? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jesus, thank you for your presence tonight. Ask you to help us to look up, help us to have these encounters with you, help us to just enjoy the fact that you have called us from the foundation of the world, from before the creation of the world. You have called us and brought us unto yourself. Lord, let your presence be here. Mm-hmm. We don't say that lightly, God. Mm-hmm. We're asking for your presence, your very presence, your very word, as was sung tonight, mm-hmm. that you might be in us, that we might follow after you with their whole hearts. Thank you, Lord, that this is what you've wanted all the time. The showbread, the incense, the drink offering, the blood and body of our Lord Jesus, the payment for sin, the cleansing of our souls, the redemption of our bodies, Lord. We go out into a world that's desperate for you. Give us strategies and effectiveness to reach them. In Jesus' name, amen.